Mike Griffith, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs for DogNation.com and also the AJC. He joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Tough times for Tom Crean and the boys, but things got to be going pretty well for Kirby Smart and the Georgia football Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's good to be champions, the Georgia people will tell you. But then they'll look at each other and go, why is Jermaine Burton going to Alabama? Now, wait a minute, you guys are talking like Bruce Pearl's coming to stay. This isn't Auburn. This is Alabama. This is a beatable team. I watched Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Controlling. I mean, this is not the Alabama. Like Coach Oates said, I mean, speaking of Oates, Bama feeling their Oates, you know, not playing as hungry as they. This happens. Some programs can't handle success, you know, but that's not Bruce Pearl over there. Bruce Pearl is a much more proven coach, much better coach than Oates. I covered him at Tennessee. I watched him take down Kansas when he had three starters suspended. He beat a number one Kansas team in January. I watched him beat a number one Memphis team in Memphis. I mean, that's big game Bruce, man. That's big time. It's good to see what he did at Auburn. That's one of the best stories of the year. I hope he gets the proper credit and recognition, because he's done an amazing job there.
Before we talk football with you, staying on the basketball thing for a minute, because since you covered him in Knoxville, if things had not gone awry there, how many national championships or how many Final Fours, let me put it that way, how many Final Fours do you think Bruce Pearl would have taken the Tennessee Vols to?
Probably two or three. I mean, he was a second away from beating Michigan State when they had Draymond Green. Real controversial call. Should have beat him in St. Louis that year. Two or three, though. And, you know, things didn't really go that awry. It wasn't like there was some heinous crime committed by Bruce Pearl. It was completely blown out of proportion by Jay Billis at the time and ESPN. You know, I mean, he had a guy. I don't know if you guys really know the story here. There's two crazy things that happened. So he had this kid, Aaron Kraft, committed. And at the time, Aaron was about 115th in the country. You know, 3.5-star kind of guy from Ohio, Findlay, Ohio, I think, and didn't have any big-time offers, and Bruce offers him. He's a hustler. He's a tough kid, kind of like a Dane Bradshaw. So he offers the kid. They're playing Florida one weekend, and the basket, they're having official visitors in during a football weekend against Florida, and the basketball team's going to Bruce's house for a barbecue because they hang out on the weekends because he's close with his team. Well, Kraft and his dad find out about this. They're in on a visit. He's committed. And he says, hey, do you care if we stop by? Well, technically, you're not supposed to host visitors off campus. You know, but what? You're going to tell this committed kid, you know, kid stops by for 15 minutes. That's the violation. Then, when he gets asked about it, he gets, you know, they ask him about this picture of him standing in front of a microwave. You know, and he's just like, yeah, no, I don't know where that's at. Well, actually, he did, though. Tries to call the NCAA back. They've got what they wanted, though. They're so mad at Lane Kiffin that they're going to make somebody on that campus pay. But then Tennessee says, we're going to stand behind Bruce Pearl. Even though he wasn't completely forthcoming about the recruit being in his house, which big deal, right? We're going to stand by him. But there can't be any other violations, they say. So, that's cool. There aren't any violations. Bruce gets suspended for 8 games for this, which is ridiculous, unprecedented, hasn't happened since. The old joke was, Slive was so mad about Cam Newton that he suspended Bruce Pearl, because that's when all the Newton stuff was going on, and absolutely nothing happened there, even though Newton's dad admitted that they asked for like $600,000 from Mississippi State. Anyway, fast forward to this enforcement staff that follows behind and does this investigation. They say that Bruce committed a bump violation with this player. This player supposedly talked to him at a tournament, stopped by, whispered, hey, coach, how are you? How are you back? They say that's a bump violation, and they go, okay, that's it. That's what he's fired for. So he gets fired. A couple months later, they have the actual hearing with the infractions committee in, like, June, and the infractions committee goes, oh, no, that never happened. That didn't even happen. So, essentially, Bruce Pearl gets fired for a violation that never got committed. And then here's the topper. One of the guys, and I can't remember the name, but I'll bet you somebody in Alabama knows, one of the guys that was on this NCAA enforcement staff at the time worked at Auburn University. guess who hired Bruce Pearl as soon as he came off the show cause? Auburn University.
Yeah.
It's one of the strangest, craziest stories. And so Bruce Pearl has fallen to the jungle, and Auburn basketball, which doesn't even have suites. The only reason they got it built was because they wanted football, you know, rooms on the bottom they could tailgate in. They end up with Bruce Pearl at number one. And Bruce, he can win anywhere, man. I mean, he could win absolutely anywhere. He's that kind of dude. I could go on and on. I mean, really, he was an amazing coach to cover. Most fun beat I was ever on. Biggest overachieving team. Just a classic guy.
All right, now let's talk college football. The big news coming out of Georgia, Jermaine Burton, wide receiver for the Bulldogs, two seasons, 26 and 27 catches respectively. He announces he's going to head over to the Alabama Crimson Tide. Georgia fans, and look, I get it, Mike, we all do. You're upset when you lose a guy, especially when you lose one to Alabama, a team that you just beat in the national championship game. But why on earth, if fans were being logical and rational, would you blame a guy like Jermaine Burton, given the numbers that I just threw out and the possibility of what he could be getting as far as receptions and targets with Bryce Young at quarterback in that Alabama offense?
Because it flies in the face of the narrative that having Stetson Bennett at quarterback didn't hurt him. Because they don't want to admit that having a guy that didn't throw it like JT Daniels or Bryce Young works against you in recruiting and in retention of star receivers. They know that in the bottom of their heart. And, you know, and Jermaine's a good kid, by the way. I mean, he's a good dude. They're getting a good person. Now, he was banged up a lot last year, and that's why his numbers were down, guys. He suffered a sprained knee in spring camp, and then he had a high ankle sprain like the second day of fall camp. So when he started the year, he was not 100%, not even close to it. There were games he would start and only get four or five snaps, and then he just couldn't go. So those numbers are very deceptive because that was not Jermaine Burton at 100%. The guy that you saw go eight catches for 197 yards and two touchdowns, that's what Bama's getting because Bryce can deliver the ball. And now I'll say this, Jermaine's not an X, okay? He's a Y. That's what he does. He's going to be on that side of the field, and he's going to stretch you out. He runs really good routes. He's acrobatic. He does need to put on some weight. That strength and conditioning program will do him well there. But he is very explosive, and it's a good opportunity. And Georgia fans just need to recognize that, you know, that when you pass the ball and play high-volume offense like Nick Saban does, you're going to get receivers. How many first-round picks have they had? Six? Something like that? First-round wide receivers? I don't know that Georgia's had one. Since when? I'm trying to think. And, you know, so Jermaine's got to do what's best for him, and Kirby's got to decide what type of team he is, and then he's going to be able to recruit to it. Like, for example, they've recruited some really good tight ends. Not a shocker. Brock Bowers showed you, right? So they've recruited some really good defense, right? Because that's what Kirby does. So, you know, it's part of the deal now. And by the way, I didn't hear anybody saying any problems when Brandon Turnage was going to be at Georgia last year. I didn't hear anybody complain about that.
That's a good point.
Very good point. All right, so going back to Stetson Bennett, how much credence, Mike, because you follow that beat very closely, do you put into maybe the theory that the Georgia coaching staff was actually, you know, hoping that Stetson Bennett wouldn't come back next season?
I don't put any credence in that. I mean, Stetson is what they call a DGD. The fans love him. He's a resilient cat. He's an inspirational story. I mean, the guy's going to be 25 in October, right? His wiki's wrong. He's a year older than that. But, I mean, just how do you not like, you know, and remember I was on your show last year going, there's no way a former walk-on's going to beat Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. Well, he didn't, but he did beat him in Indianapolis, right?
It's true.
But, I mean, the guy, you know, 2017, he's a walk-on. You know, hardly plays. He's a scout team hero. So he gets out of there, goes to Jones County Junior College in Mississippi for a year, leads them to whatever league title game. And then Georgia's hard up because Fields is transferred out. They need a backup for Jake. So they tell Stetson if he comes back, he'll be on scholarship. And he's one play away as Jake Fromm's backup in 2019. Well, Jake didn't get hurt. Then he's the four stringer behind Jamie Newman, JT Daniels, and Dwan Mathis, right? Well, Newman transfers out. JT's not ready to go. And, you know, Dwan has a rough start against Arkansas. And boom, here's Stetson Bennett and wins some ball games. And then he gets hurt against Florida. JT comes in. We think revolutionizes the offense. Now we're going to see what Todd Monken really wants to do. 4-5 wide, 400 yards against Mississippi State, 401. Next week, Kirby only lets him throw 16 passes. Not so fast, right? And so, but we still think JT's the guy. Heisman Trophy favorite. Stetson's second, third string coming out of spring behind Beck. Almost left the program. Went to Kirby's office and said, look, I need to be able to compete or I'm not going to stay. And Kirby says, you're going to compete. Monken says, okay, he'll compete. Goes into the season, the third string quarterback. JT gets hurt. Beck has a bad week of practice against Bill Clark and UAB. Landrum, you know how I feel about how that game was coached. I won't say it again.
Thank you.
And Stetson throws 5 touchdown passes in 1 half. And the legend begins.
There it is.
Created a monster.
Legend. What
thanks
a legend.
To UAB.
Yep. Mike Griffith, 32, on Twitter, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs. There for the AJC and DogNation.com. Mike, we always appreciate it. I don't know if you have to go to Stegman tonight, but I feel bad for Tom Crean. I like Tom Crean.
Wait a minute. Hey, if Alabama fans want to talk about losing your two receivers, then you got to give Crean a break because he lost his two best players.
That's true.
Two power forwards, and it's like losing your offensive line in basketball when you lose two 24-year-old graduate student power forwards. So they just don't have the juice. Crean can coach, and I'll say this too. If George, it's like anywhere else. You get what you pay for, man. If you want players, you got to pay for them. And we can say that now. We can say it out loud.
Yes.
Kentucky's back there. Oh, we know. You know, Kentucky, they got a guy driving Porsches right now that's a freshman. At Georgia, I don't even know if they got guys getting free motor scooters.
get on that.
If Georgia wants basketball, they got to pay for it. Simple as that. Crean's not the issue. He can coach.
No, he can absolutely coach. And losing KD Johnson didn't help either. He's been pretty good.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, guys, different guys adjust to college at different rates, but that was a big pickup for Bruce and Sevier Wheeler going to Kentucky. I mean, you know, Crean walked into a culture. I mean, this is and I covered Auburn basketball in 1993. I'll just say that. Wes Flanagan, loved him. Wesley Person. But I remember sitting in that cavernous Beard Eve Memorial Coliseum and thinking to myself what a trade-off it was to cover football for basketball in the SEC. The basketball culture that Tom Crean inherited is the worst varsity sports environment that I have been a part of in 28 years. That's how bad the basketball culture was that Tom Crean inherited. And it just doesn't change overnight.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. You also covered, I guess, Aaron Swenson back in the day.
Well, I remember. Yeah.
Brunswick, Georgia. Man. Yeah.
And Aubrey Wiley.
There it is.
That team as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those Tigers.
Good stuff.
I remember those. Yeah, good stuff. Back in the day, Tommy Joe Eagle, Cliff Ellis. I was there.
Yeah, we're old. We remember that. But, hey, life goes on. Mike, we always appreciate it, man. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Mike Griffith, at Mike Griffith 32, DogNation.com. We appreciate him.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.